John chapter 8, verses 37 through 47, then we'll finish out this chapter, Lord willing, next week. Beginning at verse 37 of John chapter 8, Jesus says, "I know that you are the seed of Abraham, but you are seeking to kill me, because my word is not finding room in you." That's a literal translation. There's no room in your heart. My word can't find room. You're closed off. What things I have seen from my Father, I speak. And you, therefore, what you have seen from your Father, you are doing. They answered and they said to him, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus says to them, "If you were children of Abraham, you would be doing." Notice the imperfect tense with the subjunctive conjunction aeon part of it. It's a particle form. Putting a subjunctive in with an imperfect. You would be doing the works of Abraham, but now you are seeking to kill me, a man who has spoken the truth to you, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the works of your father." Therefore they said to him, "We have not been born from out of fornication." Ooh, well, that's a low blow. They're angry now. They're making reference to Mary's pregnancy when she was pregnant and not being married. "We have not been born from out of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God was your Father, you would be loving me." Again, there's the imperfect with the subjunctive particle. "You would be loving me. For I came out from out of God, and I am come. For I have neither come from myself, but that one," meaning the Father, "sent me. On account of which, or why, do you not know my word, or recognize my word? Because you are not able to hear my word. You are of the father, the devil, and you desire to do the lusts or the desires of your father. That one," meaning the devil, "was a murderer." The Greek word is literally man killer. "That one was a murderer from the beginning, and has not stood in the truth, because truth is not in him. Whenever he should speak the lie, he is speaking from out of his own self, because he is a liar and the father of it. And because I speak the truth, you are not believing me. Which of you, which from amongst you, is convicting me concerning sin? And if I speak truth, why are you not believing me? The one who is from out of God," notice is a participle, "the one being, the one who exists, the one who exists from God as a source, is hearing the words of God. On account of this, you are not hearing, because you are not from out of God." Some pretty hard words. Last week we began our study at verse 31 as we were studying the characteristics of discipleship. One of the things I wanted to point out to you and will continue to do as we especially progress through the book of Acts in the first hour is that the Bible presents that there are different kinds of belief. When we get to Acts chapter 19, there will be a famous passage, popular passage that people use when Paul comes into town and says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they said, "We haven't even heard if there be a Holy Spirit." So they say belief is step number one and receiving the Holy Spirit is step number two. Except in that passage, their belief is in John's baptism. There are different kinds of belief. They haven't put their belief in Jesus Christ. They haven't received Christ. They were believers in John's baptism. And they hadn't even heard. You know, what's going on here? So when they received the Holy Spirit, they were saved. There are different kinds of belief. Jesus is pointing out one of those in this text. We already saw it from John chapter 2, where it says that many believed into his name because they saw the signs which he was doing. But Jesus didn't entrust himself to them. So they were believing superficially, based on signs and wonders. And they had no depth. Their type of belief had no depth. It says in this text, in verse 30, that while Jesus was talking, many believed into him. That's the literal translation. Showing action. A giving of oneself over to, a surrender to Christ. But then there were others. Verse 31 says, therefore Jesus was saying to the ones who had, to the Jews who had believed him. Not believed in him or into him, but just believed him. That's the literal translation. And some English texts try to say believe in him, on him. They're trying to make sense out of this without realizing that Jesus had something to say to people who believed what he was saying was true, but who had not surrendered. He says to them, if you should remain in my word, you are truly my disciples. You're genuine. Now that's very controversial, but it is what the Bible teaches. If someone is a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ, they will remain, they will continue in his word. They won't leave. Because the Spirit of God will draw us, because that's God's design plan, to minister through his word to our hearts concerning the things of God. That's where God's Spirit ministers through to change our life, to draw us closer to Christ, to bring us the comfort and the maturity that we need in our walk with the Lord. That's where he meets us. It's the watering hole where God meets us to satisfy our thirst and to minister to our hearts. And then he goes on to say, and you shall come to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We've heard that quoted often over the years. But in context, he's talking to disciples. True disciples will continue in his word, and as his disciples continue in his word, they will come to know the truth, and the truth will set them free. The truth doesn't put a person in prison. Legalism, rules and regulations put people in prison. When you come to know the truth of what the Lord has done for us and what he desires to do in our life to minister to us and sustain us and to encourage us and to comfort us and to give us the guidance and strength that we need, it's a blessing. That's called the good news. But if you have to work for it, that's not good news. It's a free gift, and it's who God is. But the Lord wants to set down the conditions of the characteristics of the true disciple. Remember I said to you last week, and I've said it over the years, a person isn't really who they really are, who they genuinely are, until they're face to face with God's Word. We can believe whatever we want to believe. We can talk any way we want to talk. We can live any way we want to live. But when it comes down to it is when we're face to face with the Word of God and our response to and our interaction with the truth of God, that's who we really are. And I know that you have experienced this, but I'm shocked, I'm continually shocked to come across people who are Christians or believers. They don't have anything to do with work. Nothing. Have no desire for it. I'd rather go to a church that just has programs and entertainment, dancing bears, whatever the case may be, but don't want to hear the word. As a matter of fact, they did a church survey in Illinois where a man decided he was going to help churches build their numbers, build their attendance. And he says, the first thing you do is go through the community and take a survey. What do we have to do in church to get you to come to church? What is it about church that you don't like and that makes you not come? And the biggest complaint was the reading and study of the scriptures. But they found that if they had a play, a drama, or a musical, they would be interested in coming, but not the scriptures, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. So they taught the local churches how to have these programs. So forget the scriptures. Have a drama about a family and the kids have drug problems and they're struggling with the drug problems and how they pray. And, you know, the whole drama thing. But entertain people. Or have music concerts and then your church will develop. And they taught churches how to just fill the churches with people by finding out what the people want that's going to make them come and just rearrange the program to fulfill the need. I think it's interesting that the number one complaint was that there's too much scripture, there's too much time in the Word, so they won't come. So the churches changed their program to attract the people. But it is interesting that the number one characteristic that Jesus presents is a proper relationship with Him is characterized by a person's relationship with His Word. Are we receptive? Do we seek it? Do we hunger for it? That's our prime place of fellowship with the Lord. That's where He manifests Himself. That's where He ministers to us. And so they said that you have a devil, because we're not in bondage to anybody. What do you mean set us free? Jesus says the slave of sin is a slave, and you are a slave to sin. Well, we've never been in bondage to anybody. We're of the seed of Abraham. We're free. Of course, they didn't do their history lesson, because at the time they were in captive to the Roman government, and the Jews have been in captivity all through the years. What do you mean? What do you mean set us free? We've never been a slave to anybody. Oh, yeah? Their entire history is filled with bondage and slavery. But Jesus was talking about sin. The number one thing is being a slave to sin will keep you from the Word. After he said this, and we pick it up at verse 37, Jesus turns right around. He knows the argument. You've just told me that you are Abraham, you're the seed of Abraham. So they're saying that our Jewish heritage, our genealogical DNA trail back to Abraham shows that we are not in bondage to anybody and that we're saved. We're God's chosen people. Jesus says, I know that you are the seed of Abraham, but, in contrast, you are seeking to kill me. Principle number one, there's three of them in this section. Because my word is not finding room in you. That's a literal translation. Some English text says, my word is not finding place in you. There's no room there. My word comes to your heart and your heart is closed. Illustratively, it would be like a Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem, and they arrive at the inn, and the inn says, no vacancy. There's no room. So they had to stay in the stable. Jesus says, you are the seed of Abraham, but you're seeking to kill me because, here's the reason, so you're trying to get rid of me. The real reason is that my word is not finding any room in your heart. There's no room in your heart for my word. It's full, closed, go away, not interested, not receptive. And the heart is just filled with all other things. So, characteristic number one today, the reason why people will reject Christ is not just because they're enslaved to sin, but in their heart, within them. The word of the Lord is not finding room. Jesus says, what I have seen from my Father, I am speaking. And you, therefore, what you have seen from your Father, you are doing. So now he's starting to make a contrast by saying, I have a father, and you have a father, and we have different fathers. Because whatever I have seen from my Father, notice the word, if you have your Greek text, the word from is para, meaning alongside of. What I have seen from being alongside of my Father, those things I'm speaking. And what things you have seen alongside of your Father, you're doing. So they responded, and they're hot now. They're getting angry, and they answered and they said to him, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus says to them, "If you were the children of Abraham, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are seeking to kill me," and that is their expression of rejection. They're just not trying to reject Jesus Christ or run him out of town. They're trying to kill him. They're trying to extinguish him, eliminate him. "You are seeking to kill me, a man who has spoken the truth to you, which I heard from God." And again, alongside of God. I'm just telling you what I heard alongside of God, my Father. "This Abraham did not do. You are doing the works of your father." Therefore they said to him, "We have not been born from out of fornication." And so now they are at the height of their anger and their blasphemy and their insult against the Lord. Now they bring up his physical birth. Now they say, "We're not an illegitimate son like you are, and you're professing yourself to be Messiah, coming out of an illegitimate marriage, illegitimate relationship. And we have not been born out of fornication." But see, they're talking physical. Jesus is talking spiritual. They're saying our physical birth goes back to Abraham. Your physical birth goes back to an illegitimate relationship between your mother and your dad, you know, before they were married. That's what they're saying. And they're basing their entire standing with God based on their inheritance. They inherited the promises of Abraham by being born as a Jew. But they don't understand that Jesus is talking spiritually. In other words, Jesus started off by saying, "I know you're the seed of Abraham. I know that. But you are the seed of Abraham physically, but spiritually you have a different father than Abraham." "Oh, no, no, our father's Abraham." Jesus goes on to say, "You are doing the works of your father." They said, "We have not been born out of fornication. We have one father, and that's God." Jesus said to them, "If God was your father, you would be loving me. For I came from God, and I am come. For I have neither come from myself, but that one sent me." Verse 43, here's your second characteristic. "Why are you not able to know my speech? Because," here's the hoti again, "because," here's the reason, "you are not able to hear my word." The word able, the English text say, "you cannot hear my word." The word can or able means ability. Dunamis in Greek. You do not have the ability to hear my word. Now, they can physically hear it, but they can hear it by being receptive. You can't respond to my word. You do not have the capacity or the ability to do so. So it's interesting. Everything's evolved around the word of God and the characteristics of a person's relationship. Anybody can say they believe in God and belong to God. The Lord is pointing out the characteristics of those who belong to him and those who do not. And those who do not belong to him, going back up to verse 37, "because my word finds no room within you." You don't have room. You don't have time. The word of God is not part of your life, part of your inner being, part of your spirit. And secondly, you do not have the capacity to hear it. God's Spirit gives us the capacity to be receptive to the Word of God. A human being cannot come up with the ability to hear God's word and be receptive to it. It is a characteristic of someone who belongs to the Lord. The Lord is showing the negative part of this. When we get down to verses 43 and 44, we will see the next characteristic, and it'll be the positive one versus the negative. So the Lord shows, if my word has no room within you, and if you do not have the ability to be receptive to hearing the word of God, it shows that you are not a genuine disciple. And he's not trying to challenge human ability to study the Word of God. He is showing the intimate relationship between the Lord and his people are going to be over the spiritual table. We're going to be eating and feeding from God's Word. But his Spirit draws that. His Spirit causes that to happen. So he goes on to say, in verse 43, he says, Why do you not know my speech? Because you're not able to hear my word. Verse 44, you are of the father, the devil. There's no you're there. But now he comes right out and tells them, I know you're the seed of Abraham, but spiritually you are of your father, the devil. Oh, that's pretty... I mean, they came back at him with a very blasphemous statement about his physical heritage. And he came back with them speaking the truth about their spiritual heritage. Yes, you're from Abraham. You're a descendant of Abraham. But spiritually, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires, the lusts of your father, you desire to do. That one, the devil, is a murderer from the beginning. And he has not stood in the truth, because truth is not in him. Whenever he should speak the lie, he is speaking from out of his own self, because he is a liar and the father of it. Verse 45. And because I speak the truth, you are not believing me. Who from amongst you is convicting me concerning sin? In other words, show me sin. Well, that's a pretty open. None of us would give anybody that freedom to say, well, if I'm a sinner, show me. we got plenty of ammunition for that. But Jesus said, if any of you is convicting me of sin, show me. Present it. What is sin that I'm presenting to you? He has no takers. And if I speak the truth, why are you not believing me? Here's the third and final characteristic, verse 47. The one who exists from God as a source. The one being from out of God is hearing the words of God. Not should hear, they are hearing. On account of this, you are not hearing because you are not of God. Wow, that's pretty hard statements, and even hard for some people to understand. But if you realize that the Bible, and we've heard this our whole life, where people stand up in the pulpit and challenge us to study God's Word, to hear it, I would encourage you to do so, but I'd never challenge you to do so. Because if you're of the Lord, your biggest struggle is probably fighting against the Holy Spirit that keeps reminding you about God's Word. I got a couple hours tonight, and all of a sudden some little thing pops in your head. What about God's Word? I'm just too tired. We're constantly being drawn to His Word by God's Spirit, because that's where God cleanses us. That's where He refreshes us. That's where He encourages us. Through God's Spirit ministering through His Word, He changes us and transforms us. He reveals Himself to us. He has interaction with us, intimate fellowship with us. All the ministry that God has for us, He meets us at the table of the Word of God. So God's Spirit is going to constantly bring us there. Just like we go to the physical table for food, God's Spirit knows that our spirit needs food. And our focus and attention needs to be brought back to the Lord and the things of Christ. But it is interesting that the Lord always used either present tense verbs or participles, present participles, to describe people who belong to Him and those who don't. Those who do not belong to Him, there is no room in their life for the Word of God. None. Present tense. They are not hearing. They have no ability to hear the Word of God. Present tense. And that the one who does, who exists from God as a source, he is hearing, not he should. Well, if you're Christians, are you a Christian? Well, you should be getting in the Word. The one who is from God is hearing the words of God. And Jesus says, that's why you can't hear, because you're not of God. So he never challenged people. Remember back in John chapter 6, when they began to come to Jesus and began to argue with him about his doctrine and about his deity and about his teachings, and Jesus said to them, you can't come to me unless the Father draw you. What a way to end an argument. He didn't want to get in theological debate with them. He basically said, you can't believe me and you can't come to surrender to me because the Father's not drawing you. Your heart's just not right. And this is not a theological debate. This is a spiritual, this is a moving of God's Spirit. If a person has a heart for the Lord, God's Spirit will move upon their heart. God's Spirit will draw us to Christ. We will receive Him based on the prompting of His Spirit. And once His Spirit lives within, His Spirit ministers the truth of God's Word to us. Not just from a book, but even as we're out during the day, God's Spirit will minister certain things to us. Because that is His design for His people. That's spiritual food. So these are the characteristics of the people who belong to Christ and the ones who don't. He wants to let people know what the characteristics are of a genuine disciple. Not somebody who just believes certain things or believes truth about Jesus, but those who have surrendered their life to Christ, those who have received Him, have been saved by Him, have His Spirit dwelling in them. We will continue and finish out the chapter next week. It's a very important section. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. In John chapter 15 that we'll study in a few weeks, it is recorded that You told Your disciples that You have been clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Through Your Word we're cleansed, we're encouraged, we have the truth of the Lord brought to our hearts and ministered to us by Your Spirit. And it is a cleansing, it is an encouragement, it is a way for us to see where we stand in our relationship with the Lord. We pray that You'd move upon our hearts, soften our hearts, make room in our hearts for Your Word. We pray that You'd give us the ability to hear as we confess to You our total dependency is upon You and Your Spirit to minister these things to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.